Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Father, grant us the grace to simply trust you are here, providing moment by moment the provisions needed for ministry and our daily life. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you need wondrous signs to believe there is a God? Do you need wonders to happen before your very eyes for you to know that the living God is with you? Or are you able to simply trust the living God will see you through each and every day? I am asking you these questions, these thought-provoking and thought-penetrating questions, to help you get to the heart of the matter. Where is your faith? Your trust in the living God? Is your faith in His Word? Or do you need more than simply the Word of God? Is the Lord among us? It is a challenging question, that thought-provoking question. And it's a question that can be answered as no or yes. What would your answer be? What would it take for you to answer resoundingly with a loud amen? The Lord is among us. The Lord is in our midst. Are you able to answer that with a loud amen? The Lord is here in our midst. Okay, let's try that again. The Lord is here in our midst. Amen. Matthew 21, the chief priests and elders enter the court of the temple to question Jesus. By what authority are you doing these things? Asking, and who gave you this authority? Recall all the signs and wonders already done by Jesus. These leaders knew of them. They had recently witnessed the commotion of Jesus riding into Jerusalem on the back of the donkey, and he heard the crowd singing and the palm branch waving. These religious leaders saw Jesus drive the money changers and those who were buying and selling out of the temple, saying, "My Father's house shall be a house of prayer." They saw the blind and the lame coming to Jesus at the temple, and he healed them all. The chief priests and teachers of the law witnessed these things, yet they had the audacity to ask, "By what authority?" Are not these wonders and his words enough to demonstrate and declare the authority? Jesus' words, Jesus' actions, his teachings were unlike any other. It is written in Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. The centurion in Matthew chapter 8 recognized Jesus' authority. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus demonstrates the authority to forgive sins as the paralytic rises and walks. The religious leaders were asking, "By what right do you do these things?" But more, they were asking this: "Who do you think you are to do such things?" Even with all the wonders and all the words of Jesus, they would not recognize the Lord, the living God, was there in their midst. They were blind to the truth. So this demonstrates their hearts needed more than wonders. to know the Lord God was in their midst. What about your heart? Does your heart need more than wonders to know the Lord is here in our midst? Israel, delivered from bondage in Egypt, daily provided bread from heaven, they're still grumbling, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They're now camping at Rephidim, and there's no water. No water! We're thirsty! And the first thought that comes to them, let's go complain. And they began to quarrel with Moses again. And it appears this time as they went to complain and quarrel with Moses, they were picking stones up on their way to confront him. Exodus chapter 17, verses 3 and 4. But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst? Then Moses cried out to the Lord, what am I to do with these people? They're almost ready to stone me. You see, there really was no pleasing these people, Israel. Moses is reaching to the point of exasperation, and rightly so. They were ready to stone him. Get the whole picture in your mind, what Israel has already experienced. Deliverance from Egypt, deliverance on dry ground through the waters of the Red Sea, daily provision of bread from heaven, and quail. They move from place to place as the Lord directly guides them, and that daily bread comes with them, provided. And when the Lord says, stay here, some places have had wonderful water, other places bitter water that had to be sweetened. And here there's no water. But yet the daily bread is provided, there is no water. You see, Israel does not trust the Lord even now. They haven't learned to trust the Lord. And Moses states this very accurately when he says, why do you put the Lord to the test? Israel just could not, or they would not come to the point of simply knowing and saying, it will be all right. The Lord is among us. Their hearts need to learn, as the Lord provides that daily bread from heaven, the Lord will provide water. Do you really think, after all the Lord has done for Israel, that the Lord would simply starve them and dehydrate them to death in the desert? Israel was chosen, the chosen people of the living God. A people chosen to show the world who the Lord is and what living after the Lord and obeying the living God, what it truly looked like. What kind of witness would it be to have Israel die in the desert? The Lord had brought Israel into the desert to test them, to draw out of them a trust in the living God, trusting in all things. To grow in that relationship with the Lord as their God. Testing. Is the Lord among us or not? Consider this. The people Israel, they could have simply come to Moses and said, as the Lord provides our daily bread, ask the Lord to provide water. They had a choice. Be it grumbling or asking in faith, a faith that recognizes the Lord is in their midst. Israel again chose the grumbling, showing a lack of faith. There are times when we wonder if the Lord is with us or not, when things happen that just can't be explained, or times when we're suffering. There's things that happen, we just wonder, is the Lord with me? Example, the past few days, in the past weeks or so, two different deaths and two different obituaries to contrast. One man died September 16th, and the other died September 27th. One was born a Muslim, the other a Methodist. One died at the young age of 34, and the other lived to the age of 91. One became a devout Christian apologist, traveling the world, sharing the love of Jesus Christ and the power of the gospel to change a heart and change a life. The other was on a quest of sensual pleasure, eroding the mores of a culture and damaging the hearts of young, impressionable boys and men over several generations. You know the name of the older man, but most of you don't know the name of the younger man, Nabil Qureshi. We wonder, is the Lord among us when one so set on fire for the living God, an evangelist, an apologist, a father with a young daughter, has stomach cancer and dies so young? Yet in the cancer, a magnificent faith and trust in the living God who brought him from Islam to know the Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior was his strength to the very end. And that same Lord Jesus Christ is the strength of his widow. In Nabil's own words, dated August 30th, 2016, that was last summer, a year ago, this is Nabil's own words. This is from his Facebook page. Dear friends and family, this is an announcement that I never expected to make, but God in his infinite and sovereign wisdom has chosen me for this refining, and I pray he will be glorified through my body and my spirit. My family and I have received the news that I have advanced stomach cancer, and the clinical prognosis is quite grim. Nonetheless, we are going to pursue healing aggressively, both medical and miraculous, relying on God and the fact that He is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. In the past few days, my spirits have soared and sank as I pursue the Lord's will and consider what the future might look like. But never once have I doubted this, that Jesus is Lord. His blood has paid my ransom, and by His wounds I am healed. I have firm faith that my soul is saved by the grace and mercy of the triune God, and not by any accomplishment or merit of my own. I am so thankful that I am a child of the Father, redeemed by the Son, and sealed in the Spirit. No, in the midst of the storm, I do not have to worry about my salvation, and for that I praise you, God. Never once doubted that Jesus is Lord. Nabil never once doubted. Yet we see Israel in actions and words say they doubt and they distrust the living God. The commentary found on BibleStudyTools.com for Exodus 17 really summarizes well. By their conduct on this new occasion, but their conduct on this new occasion was outrageous. It amounted even to tempting of the Lord. It was in opposition to his minister, a distrust of his care, an indifference to his kindness, an unbelief in his providence, a trying of his patience, and fatherly forbearance. Israel had experienced so many wonders daily. And they still grumbled and tested the Lord. Did you notice there in Exodus 17, there was no rebuke from the Lord? The Lord simply gave instructions to Moses to follow. Walk ahead. Take a few elders with you. Take the staff with which you struck the Nile. Exodus chapter 17, verse 6. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink. So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. The living God said, I will stand there before you. Israel was testing, is the Lord in our midst? And God is saying, I will stand there before you as you strike the rock. Moses strikes the rock. Water gushes forth in the sight of the elders of Israel. The Lord is there in their midst, and he's making it clear. It is the Lord providing the water. It's emphasized by the use of the staff that struck the Nile and the witnesses to the action and the miraculous result. Gushing water from solid rock to feed the multitudes and water the livestock to take care of them. The Lord is in their midst. And so I take you back to Jesus in Jerusalem. And I invite you to recall that during the Feast of Tabernacles, there is a water ceremony. And during that Feast of Tabernacles, Israel builds little tabernacles, temporary shelters, to recall their time in the wilderness. And on the last day, the greatest day of the Feast of Tabernacles, there is this water ceremony where water is being poured that was gathered from the Pool of Siloam. And that is done to recall the provision of water in the wilderness. Now get this image in your mind. This great fanfare, and this water is being poured to recall the time the water came gushing from the rocks in the wilderness. And as the water is being poured, you hear the living Christ cry out, come to me, all who are thirsty, and I will make wells of living water gush forth from you. God is in their midst, and they don't recognize it. Really, really let this sink in. John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Make this connection in your heart and believe. Don't miss out as they did years ago and not recognize the Lord there in their midst. Israel in the desert and the religious leaders in the temple, they missed who was in their midst. Very God of very God. Don't you miss it. The very God of very God is here in our midst. So I bring you a few more words from Nabil, spoken this past summer, June 25th, 2017, in Houston, Texas, as part of his statement of faith and hope in eternal life. And so how can we ask the question, God, why is there suffering if you're a loving God? The only way we can ask that question is if we're so hopelessly myopic and short-sighted on our own pains. Instead of seeing who God is, what he has done for us, and what is procured for us in the afterlife, if we stop being so hopelessly self-centered and micro-focused on the pain that we experience in this life, we will begin to see the greatness of God, an eternal picture in which he has procured for us life and life evermore. In the face of eternal life of bliss with our Creator, no amount of suffering or pain on this earth can shake our confidence in Him. Don't make the mistake of Israel in the desert. Don't make the mistake of the Pharisees and teachers of the law in the temple who did not recognize the Lord, the living God, was in their midst. Instead, by faith, stand firm and strong to the truth that no amount of thirst, no amount of hunger, no amount of suffering nor pain can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Christ who died for you to give you eternal life, won't He also give you all things you truly need? Trust Him. Believe in Him. Jesus is the risen Christ, and He is here among us now. Amen.